Chapter 9. Korovyov's Capers. Nikanor Ivanovich Bosoy, Chairman of the Tenants' Association of No. 302B, Sadovaya Street in Moscow, former residence of the late Berlioz, had been awfully overwhelmed since Wednesday night. At midnight, as we already know, the commission that included Zeldibin arrived in the building and summoned Nikanor Ivanovich, informing him of Berlioz's demise. Together, they headed to apartment number 50. Here, papers and various other belongings of the deceased were sealed. The commission announced to Nikanor Ivanovich that the papers of the deceased would be taken for review, that the living quarters of the deceased would revert to the Tenants' Association, and that the belongings of the deceased were to be stored in the aforementioned living quarters until such time as heirs were found. The news of Berlioz's demise spread around the building with supernatural speed. Starting at 7 in the morning on Thursday, Bosoy was plagued first by phone calls and then by personally delivered petitions, all containing claims to the deceased man's living space. The torture continued until 1 o'clock in the afternoon, when Nikanor Ivanovich simply fled his apartment for the management office by the gate. Somehow fighting off those following on his heels over the asphalted courtyard, Nikanor Ivanovich disappeared in the entrance of the 6th staircase and ascended to the 5th floor, where the vile apartment number 50 was located. Catching his breath on the landing, the portly Nikanor Ivanovich extracted the management's ring of spare keys from his pocket, opened the door with an authoritative hand, and walked in.
"Hey, housekeeper!" Nikanor Ivanovich yelled in the dim hall. "Grunia, is it? You there?"
No one answered. Nikanor Ivanovich relieved the study door of its seal, extracted a folding ruler from his briefcase, and stepped inside the room. That is, he began to step inside, but stopped immediately in the doorway, in amazement, and even gave a start. A tall, thin, unknown gentleman sat at the desk of the deceased, wearing a checked jacket, jockey cap, and a pince-nez.
"And who would you be, mister?"
Nikanor Ivanovich asked in alarm.
"Wow, Nikanor Ivanovich!"
the unexpected gentleman bellowed in a vibrating tenor. Leaping up, he greeted the chairman with a sudden and forced handshake. The greeting did not please Nikanor Ivanovich in the least.
"So who are you? What's your name?"
"My name is, oh, let's say, Korovyov," replied the man.
"What are you doing here?" "I'm an interpreter, if you please, attached to the foreign person now taking residency in this apartment."
Nikanor Ivanovich's mouth fell open. The presence of a foreigner in the apartment, much less one with an interpreter, came as a complete surprise to him. He demanded an explanation. The interpreter gladly explained himself. The foreign artist, Sir Volant, had been kindly invited by the director of the Variety, Stefan Bogdanovich Likhodayev, to spend the duration of his tour, or about a week, in the director's apartment. This was communicated to Nikanor Ivanovich in writing as early as yesterday, along with a request to register the foreigner temporarily as a tenant while Likhodayev is away in Yalta.
"He didn't write me anything," the chairman said in amazement. "Why don't you dig around in your briefcase, Nikanor Ivanovich?" Korovyov suggested sweetly.
Shrugging his shoulders, Nikanor Ivanovich opened the briefcase and found Likhodayev's letter inside.
"How did I forget about it?" Nikanor Ivanovich muttered.
It happens, Nikanor Ivanovich,"
Korovyov screeched.
"I myself am frightfully forgetful."
Nikanor Ivanovich declared that he would need to see the foreigner personally. But this was denied by the interpreter. Quite impossible. Busy. Training the cat.
"The cat I can show you if you like,"
Korovyov offered.
This was in turn declined by Nikanor Ivanovich, and then the interpreter immediately put forth an unexpected but very interesting proposition to the chairman. Taking into account that Sir Volant staunchly refuses to live in a hotel, and that he is used to living large, would the Tenants' Association consider leasing him the entire apartment, including rooms belonging to the deceased, for the week that Volant performs in Moscow?
"There are great benefits and a clear profit in this for your Tenants' Association, Nikanor Ivanovich,"
Money's not an issue.
Korovyov glanced round and then whispered in the chairman's ear,
Millionaire.
The interpreter's offer was undoubtedly practical and sound. The chairman was filled with vague unease. Still, he decided to accept the proposal. However, the cautious and thorough Nikanor Ivanovich announced that he would first need to settle the matter with the Travellers' Bureau.
Understood, Korovyov exclaimed. Couldn't do without settling it. No, sir. Here's the phone, Nikanor Ivanovich. You settle it right away, and don't be shy about money.
He added in a whisper, drawing the chairman to the telephone in the hall.
Who should pay if not him?
If you only saw his villa in Nice, next time, when you go abroad, drop by there.
It'll take your breath away.
The Travellers' Bureau resolved the matter over the phone with unusual speed, astonishing the chairman. It turned out that they already knew about Zavolant's intention to live in Likudiev's private apartment and did not object in the least.
Wonderful! Bawled Korovyov.
Somewhat disorientated by Korovyov's constant screeching, the chairman informed him that the Tenants' Association agreed to lease apartment number 50 to the artist named Volant at the rate of... Nikanor Ivanovich fidgeted slightly and said,
500 rubles a day.
Here, Korovyov completely shocked the chairman.
So, for 1 week, that comes out to 3,500. What kind of sum is that?
Ask for five, he'll pay.
Nikanor Ivanovich somehow found himself by the deceased man's desk, where Korovyov drafted two copies of a contract with the greatest speed and skill. He then flew into the bedroom and returned with both copies already marked with the foreigner's broad signature. The chairman signed as well. Then Korovyov laid out five brand-new banknote stacks for the chairman. Having counted the money, the chairman received the foreigner's passport for temporary registration purposes and asked guiltily for a free pass to the show.
How many tickets, Nikanor Ivanovich? 12? 15?
The stunned chairman explained that he only needed a couple for himself and Pelagio Antonovna, his wife. Korovyov instantly whipped out a notepad and dashed off a front-row pass for two persons. He deftly thrust the pass at Nikanor Ivanovich with his left hand, and with his right he placed a thick, crackling wad of bills into the chairman's other hand. Throwing a glance at it, Nikanor Ivanovich turned bright red and began to push it away. Korovyov hissed right in his ear, "You'll hurt his feelings, Nikanor Ivanovich, and that's just not polite. You've worked hard." At this point, there happened what the chairman would later describe as a miracle. The wad crawled into his case all by itself. And then, weakened and almost broken, the chairman found himself back on the staircase. As soon as the chairman left the apartment, a low voice came from the bedroom.
I do not like this Nikanor Ivanovich. He is a miser and a crook. Could you make it so that he doesn't come any more?
Messiah, you need but give the order,
Korovyov replied from somewhere. And immediately, the accursed interpreter appeared in the hall, dialed a number, and began to whine tearfully into the receiver.
Hello. I consider it my duty to inform you that our chairman of the Tenants' Association in building number 302B on Sadovia, Nikanor Ivanovich Bosoy, is illegally speculating in foreign currency. At the present time, he has $400 wrapped in a newspaper hidden in the ventilation shaft in the bathroom of his apartment number 35. This is the resident of said building speaking.
And he hung up, the scoundrel. What took place thereafter in apartment number 50 is unknown. But we know exactly what transpired at Nikanor Ivanovich's. Locking himself in the bathroom, he took the wad forced upon him by the interpreter out of the briefcase and determined that it contained 400 rubles. Nikanor Ivanovich wrapped the wad in a piece of newspaper and stuck it in the ventilation shaft. 5 minutes later, the chairman was sitting at the table in his small dining room, and then the doorbell rang. His wife ran to the hall, and two gentlemen walked into the dining room, accompanied by an unusually pale Pelagio Antonovna, Glancing at the gentleman, Nikanor Ivanovitch paled also and rose from his seat.
"Where's the bathroom?" asked the first man.
"This way, this way,"
Pelagio Antonovna blurted out.
"But what's the matter?"
Nikanor Ivanovitch asked quietly, trailing behind the visitors.
"And your papers, excuse me."
Without stopping, the first man showed Nikanor Ivanovitch his papers. The second was already standing on a stool in the bathroom, with his hand thrust into the ventilation shaft. The newspaper was removed, but instead of rubles, the wad contained some unknown currency. Nikanor Ivanovitch saw all this through a haze. Strange spots floated before his eyes. "Dollars in the ventilation shaft," the first man said pensively. "All right, then. Let's have the rest."
"I don't have any! By God, I don't have any!"
He ran to the dresser, pulled out a drawer with a crash, and his briefcase out of the drawer, all the while yelling incoherently.
"Here's the contract, scum of an interpreter, set me up! Could I be off? In a pince-nez!"
He opened the briefcase, looked inside, shoved his hand in, turned blue, and dropped the case into the soup. There was nothing in the briefcase. No letter from Stiopa. No contract. No foreigner's passport. No money. No free passes. No one knows what Pelagio Antonovna imagined at that point, but she wrung her hands and exclaimed,
"Confess, Ivanich. You'll get off lighter."
5 minutes later, the residents standing outside could witness the chairman being escorted by two unknown persons straight to the gate. As they later told, Nikanor Ivanovitch was barely recognisable, staggered like a drunk as he passed, and kept muttering something unintelligible.